get into the Word. Let's open up 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's where we left off last week. We'll be in verse 1. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand good and high. One will be handed to you so you can follow along with us. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It is the first Sunday of the month, therefore we will partake of communion. And so I just ask that we would just prepare our hearts as we hear the Word, and to spend that time with the Lord, remembering what he's done for us. It's going to be great to get to heaven when there's no more sprinklers. That's what I am all for that. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Bible's open. Let's ask God to open our hearts. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we're just so grateful. We're so thankful. Your grace is so sufficient. Your love for us is never ending. And God, I just pray right now that you would fill us with a fresh dose of your grace and mercy. We know that they are new each and every morning. So let us not live in yesterday's blessings. Let us long for the things that you have for us this day. And we just give you praise, glory, and honor for how you work, God. You can move in the hearts of men and women, of kings. You can move mountains. And so our faith is in you and our trust is in you. You see where we're at, both in our church and in our individual lives. And we pray, God, that you would speak into our circumstances and situations, our struggles and our victories. We give them all to you. We ask that your will would be done and that in the process you'd be glorified. So bless this time as we look to your word. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our minds to your truth, that we would be encouraged in the days that we live. And it's all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to talk about heaven this morning, which is always a great topic, you know. Question is, do we think about heaven enough? Because I think it's times when we get in difficulties and struggles that we forget our eternal home. We forget that all of this life, as short as it is compared to all of eternity, is just, the Bible says, a breath. It's a vapor. It's here for a second, it's gone. You know, the older I get, the more I realize there's a lot less of my life left. But eternity is available to those who believe, those who put our faith and trust in Christ. So if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, a spirit-filled Christian, heaven awaits you. And as we look at this area of text, these nine verses, Paul's going to remind us that our focus needs to be on him. Our mindset needs to be there more than it is here. Yes, we have responsibilities. Yes, we have things that we need to do here. But if we are always thinking about the here and now, we're going to get discouraged, right? We're going to get depressed. We're going to get overwhelmed. But if we wake up every day and say, Lord, this could be the day that I get to heaven. This could be the day that I get to begin spending eternity with you. Now, you've heard me say, I think eternal life started the moment you gave your life to Christ, certainly. But we're still in this body. We're still dealing with the things of sin. One day we're going to be in heaven when it's all going to be gone. And listen, we're not going to sit around the tables and reminisce about the struggles we've had down here. Those are going to be distant memories. Those are going to be forgotten because we're going to behold the glory of God and we're going to celebrate his glory. In his honor. I heard this story this week, and it was an author. His name's Jay Strack. He writes about a basketball game he once attended. The game ended strangely. Dallas Mavericks point guard Derek Harper dribbled the final 6 seconds off the clock. Harper thought the team was up by 1 point. Actually, the game was tied. The Mavericks could have used the wasted time to win the game. They ended up losing in overtime. And Strack, the author, writes afterwards about this experience that he witnessed. And he says this, I wanted to put it on the screen so you really sink in. He said, dribble, 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 go the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the years of our lives. And isn't that the truth? Life goes by second by second, and it goes by quickly. So the question is, are we wasting time, or are we investing in the life that God has given to us with every ounce of energy and breath that we have, to give it to God and to not waste the time. I think in our lives that we live, we can waste time in so many ways these days. You know, sitting at a computer, or sitting with a device, hours can just zip by. And you're like, whoa, where did the time go? We have got to embrace and hold on to those opportunities that we have as believers to see the opportunities before us. How often have you and I dribbled away valuable seconds that we could have used to win the game, to win a life? Think about the missed opportunities you could have won someone to Christ, leading someone to Jesus just by talking to them, just by maybe praying with them. Someone might have said, wow, I want to accept this Jesus that you believe in. We could have missed that opportunity. We could have won a reward for serving Jesus. He rewards those who what? Serve him and are diligently seek after him. Or we could have won lost souls to Christ. Or maybe you could have even accepted Jesus. I remember when I gave my life to God. I was 26 years old. And the very first thing that crossed my mind was, forgive me, God, for taking so long. I felt like 26 years of my life were wasted for myself. Now, God redeems the time. Praise God for that. Amen? He redeems the time. He restores the years the locusts have eaten away. And that's amazing things that God can do. But we have opportunities, guys, every single day to be used by God. Whether it's in your kids' lives, in your spouse's life, in your family's life, in your neighbor's life, whatever it may be, you have opportunities. Don't dribble the seconds away and waste the life God has given to you. Don't waste the time instead of winning the game. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as we begin these first nine verses, Paul's focus is on eternity. And I'm going to submit to all of us, Paul's focus had to be on eternity. Paul's focus must have been on heaven because of all the things that he experienced in his life were difficult once he gave his life to Christ. But his focus was on the target. His focus was on the finish line. And as long as he kept that in sight, he was able to endure the things that he endured. So if you and I are here today and we've got something going on in our heads, something that it's weighing us down or it's consuming our thoughts or waking us up in the middle of the night and that's all we think about, then maybe during those times we need to stop and say, God, you're God. You're in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is praying for me, and one day I'm going to be with you. Because that helps us deal with whatever's going on in our lives when we think about heaven. And I think we need to remind each other about heaven more often. It was an African pastor had come to the United States, and after, you know, having opportunities at American pulpits, he shared with the congregation once that he goes, I don't understand what's going on in America. When we are in Africa and when we preach and we have an opportunity to share the word of God, the topic of heaven always comes up. And his observation is like, I've been to many churches and I never hear about heaven. We need to hear about heaven more often, amen? We need to be thinking about our final destination. Because we don't want to get there and look back and go, oh, I missed an opportunity. Oh, I missed. No, take every opportunity that God gives you to its fullest and focus in on heaven, because that will help us not waste the seconds in our lives. Look with me at verse 1 in chapter 5. Paul says this, for we know. And anytime I read that, I ask myself, do I know? Do I know? Do you know? For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So the Apostle Paul takes this opportunity to write to the church at Corinth and write to us as a reminder that you know that if in this tent, in this earthly body, if it's destroyed, if we die, that's not it. That's not the end of life. Anybody ever lived that way before they came to Christ? I did. I just thought, you know what? Live the best life you can, because when it's over, it's over. But my eyes have been opened. My heart's been exposed to the reality of eternity with God. And here Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed or dies, we have a building from God. The Apostle Paul not only was he gifted in the scriptures, teacher of the word of God, but he was also a tent maker. And in his career, if you will, in Acts chapter 18, actually, it tells of his first encounter at Corinth. He meets Priscilla and Aquila, who were also tent makers by trade. And he worked together with them for 18 months. So I can just kind of picture in my eye Paul doing this job to meet his needs so it wasn't a burden to the church, and him thinking, this is life. I'm building temporary structures. I'm building tents that are flimsy and weak and fragile. And that's just like our body. It's just like our life. It's flimsy, it's fragile, and it's temporary. Some of us are going, praise God for temporary, right? The older you get, the more you realize that. But Paul said, okay, our bodies, these tents that we have right now are temporary. Guys, I know you know this. This is not our home. This is not our final dwelling place. We're just passing through. And it might seem like a long time, but it's nothing compared to what we're going to spend in eternity. And Paul says, I want you to think about your life. In fact, I want you to think about your death. And don't be discouraged about it. Be encouraged about it. Because though this tent, this temporary structure, that you're going to abandon it, God's going to give you a building. Notice the contrast there between a tent and a building. You know, how many people in this room love to camp? Good, me either. I know some families that literally camp in their backyard with their kids. It's like you have a perfectly good kitchen and bedroom and shower in the house. But it's a reminder. What? If you do it, you only do it once in a while, right? The thing about a tent, in fact, I'm going to read this. It says, someone said, the real purpose of camping is to increase our appreciation of our homes. Boy, do I love that. Isn't that the truth? Oh, can't wait. I remember we used to go whitewater rafting with the guys. And for years, we camped. And it's like, it's hard. It can be wet. There can be bugs. And then finally, we looked over and go, oh, they have cabins. Why aren't we staying in the cabins? Camping. But the Apostle Paul looked at this and he says, I'm going to compare our lives to living in a tent and living in heaven with God, a permanent structure. This isn't it, guys. There's the best is yet to come and when we get to heaven. And if we think about that, if we think about eternity with God and how amazing it's going to be, don't you think that should help us deal with the things that are going on in our lives today? So, we got to be thinking about heaven, longing for heaven, desiring heaven, praying for heaven. You know, it's what we want. It's what we desire. Paul saw life as striking a tent, breaking it down, and moving on, and moving out. Paul wasn't afraid of death. He knew there was a reward at death. We never need to be afraid of death, guys. Yes. It can be hard. Yes, there can be difficulties, but once we pass from this life, it's going to be all worth it when we get there. So it's a perspective, and I think Paul wants us all to have this perspective. Think of the time and energy and money we waste maintaining our bodies. We refuel our bodies 3 times a day, some more. We have to park our bodies for a few hours each night. A body requires frequent oil changes. It needs a daily wash and wax, daily, I admit. And to top it all off, we are constantly driving it into the mechanics for repair. Some of you younger people don't understand that yet. It's a daily routine. To be quite honest, after 57 years of life here on earth, I can't wait for my new body. I can't wait for the upgrade. Pastor Rob 2.0, right? I mean, it's going to be a better model, it's going to be a better version, and it's going to live forever and not have any pain. What a beautiful thing. But we spend so much time taking care of ourselves. I can't tell you the number of things I've tried to keep hair on my head. Some work, and then I abandon it and try something. It's like, for what? for what? I used to, the first pastor, Calvary pastor that I ever sat under, he used to tell about, he goes, when I get to heaven, God's going to have me a big body. He was a small guy with a really squeaky voice. He said, I'm going to have muscles. I'm going to have long flowing hair. I used to laugh when he would say that. Now I understand it. It's so true. God, we want the upgrade. We want the upgrade. But that's what God has in store for us. And that'll help us. Because I think if we try to maintain this and spend so much time on this and neglect that, then we will get discouraged. I get discouraged when I look in the mirror. Like, whoa. You know? My wife, every time we have an anniversary, she posts something on Instagram that was like when we were kids. I'm like, oh, I had hair back then. I was tan back then. It's discouraging. But if I focus on heaven, it's all better. It's all better. There's an old saying, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go right now. Because there's people we love here, right? We hate to hear about people that have passed away, have gone on to be with the Lord. But I got to tell you, when I hear about a believer that is a strong believer that has gone on to be with the Lord, no matter how they passed away, the first thing that comes to my mind always, and I praise God for it, is those words, well done, good and faithful servant. I used to know a girl down in South Florida. She was very young, but man, she was on fire for the Lord. She got killed in a car accident, which was terrible. But all I could think about is she's in heaven. And so we can look at the tragedies of life and maybe look at it incorrectly. Those that have graduated, those that are with the Lord, we should be rejoicing with them. We're the ones that we should be sad for, because we got to stick around. But that's the beauty of remembering what heaven is all about. In fact, the Apostle Paul, said it this way in Philippians. He says, for I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul was never a man that was selfish. He was never a man that said he wanted what he wanted or what he deserved. What he wanted is to be with Christ. What he wanted is to be with his Savior. But he said, you know what? It's better that I stay here for other people. Do we ever think like that? Do we ever have that mentality? I think it helps with the trials and the difficulties in life. If we're focused on, God, you've got me here for a reason, and I'm going to use every opportunity that you've given to me to its fullest. It's interesting, Paul had such a longing for heaven that he was torn between the two. But he settled his heart on what God wanted for his life. And guys, God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. Maybe you're a parent that's pouring into your children's lives. Maybe you're a child that's encouraging your parents. First service, there's a couple young girls that come to our church, and their parents drive in the parking lot, drop their kids off, and leave, and then pick them up after service. And my prayer for those young girls, God, use them to show your love to their family. Now, maybe their families go to another church. I don't know the whole story. But the desire is, let them see something different in them that makes them want to have a closer relationship with you. Because that's what we're here for. And that's, we want people to go to heaven. We want people to be there. It's amazing what people today will put themselves through just to hang on to life a little bit longer, right? We have medications that will help us get better. We have things. But when I witnessed my brother go through cancer and go through chemotherapy and radiation, it wasn't a pretty thing. And sometimes we try to hold on to this life too tightly and realize God wants us home. I think about that a lot, how we look at what God wants and go, well, I want to stay here longer. And I get it. You want to spend more time with your spouse. You want to spend more time with your children. You want to see your grandchildren grow up. I get it. Those are good things. But if our perspective is more about the world and not about heaven, that's when we're going to lose that for we know. If we know it's better there, why wouldn't we want to be there? If we're too focused on the here and now. Paul, he did not care about the here and now. He wanted to be with his Savior. Look at verse 2. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Can you say that? Can you say you groan and earnestly desire to be in heaven? Verse 3, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. God won't leave us, abandon us. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Paul paints the picture of what heaven is. This life is but just a flimsy tent, temporary. Heaven is a permanent structure, eternal, eternal protection. And he's like, do we groan for that? Do we long for that? Do we pray for that? Do we pray for the return of Christ? Do we pray for the rapture of the church? We should be. We have to, as believers, we have to be ready to go be with him. Have to. And so Paul says, in this we groan. That's the struggle. That's the struggle of the flesh. Paul talks a lot about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit in the book of Galatians. And those two things are at battle with each other. Be filled with the spirit, you will not satisfy the lust of the flesh. So it's things of the spirit. That's what we're to be focused on. The real meaning of life is when we get there. So I encourage us all, think about heaven a little bit more, and it'll make it a little bit easier to endure this thing called life. Look at verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. You don't have to do it for yourself. God's prepared you. Who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. When you gave your life to Christ, he gave you the Holy Spirit. It was a token, of a stamp, a seal upon your heart that you belong to him and that when you die, you get to go to heaven. So that's the guarantee. That's, they call it, the word there is actually engagement ring. God has put a ring on your finger to say, he is yours. He goes on in verse 6. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And not, now Paul's not saying like absent from the Lord. He's just saying while you're still in this flesh, while you're still in this body, we're not in the full presence of God. There's still a separation. And he goes on, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So Paul takes it back. He goes, we look forward to that time when we are no longer in the body and we're in the presence of God. It's going to be an amazing, amazing thing when we're in the presence of God. You're never going to get there and look back on this life and long to be back here. I know, you ever hear the people say, man, when I get to heaven, I got a few questions. Amnesia happens as soon as you get into heaven. Lord, I had a question, but it doesn't matter anymore because this is amazing. Does the Bible tell us what heaven looks like? It gives us an insight. The book of Revelation, it tells us that the street is paved with gold. That God's glory is what shines upon and what brings light into heaven. It's going to be amazing. The Bible tells us it's more than we can ever think or imagine. I can imagine some pretty amazing things. Can't you? It's going to be more than that. Every mind will be blown when we get into the presence of God. And I can't wait for that. Again with verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We can't go through this life looking at the things in the world and thinking we're going to be satisfied there. You know, we have to realize it is faith that gets us there. It's Paul's faith in what he believed that he had hope in the midst of everything that he was going through. Think about all the things Paul suffered. The beatings, the imprisonments, you know, the bad eyesight, all those things in his life. And yet he can write with such confidence because he believed in what God told him. Guys, there has to be a sense of faith. There has to be a sense of belief for all of us that when you have your worst day, here on earth, that God can still show up in a powerful way and turn it into your best day. And asking God to show up in powerful ways is what we need in our lives. I want to read this story. said, once a deeply troubled man took a walk after dinner. He strolled by a construction site. Stonemasons were building a church. It was almost finished, but one craftsman worked feverishly, carving and chipping on a huge stone. The bystander asked him, why are you spending so much time on that particular block? The worker pointed to a nearly finished steeple and said, I'm shaping it down here so it'll fit up there. And immediately the man said, that's what I needed to hear. God is working on us down here so that we're fit for up there. So everything that's going on in your life, is God maybe chiseling away a little bit more of the flesh, chiseling away a little bit more, less or more of you so that he can put more of himself in you. That's what this is all about. We go through this life so that we will long for heaven. The enemy wants you to long for this earth, right? What did the enemy do with Jesus? Offered him everything, right? I'll give it all to you. We don't want any of this. We want what God has for us. And that's what we should be longing for. That's what we should be craving. Colossians 2:3 is what Paul said to this church at Colossians. He said, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Where is your mind? Where does your mind go when you're stressed out? Where does your mind go when you get overwhelmed? If we truly focus in on everything that we're going through, we will get discouraged, right? Think about Peter when he got out of the boat. He was walking on water as long as his eyes were fixed on Christ. But as soon as he started looking at his circumstances, as soon as he started looking at the wind and the waves, he began to sink. Guys, we have got to keep our eyes on the Lord and know that everything that you're going through, he's allowing for a purpose and a reason in your life. He can get you out of it in a minute, but he's doing something, and you got to make sure you're learning the lesson that he has for you, even when it's hard, even when it's hard. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, the dilemma is this. How can we be confidently hoping for a new body when we have to deal with this body that we're in right now? And that's only by faith. That's why Paul says, walk by faith, not by sight. Don't walk around doing the things that you see or being affected by the things you see. Be affected by the things that you have faith in that's written in the Word of God. The answer to all these problems is faith in him. Paul said, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. He says that in verse 8. Again, that word confidence. Are you confident in what God's doing in your life? We can get discouraged when we look at ourselves, but have confidence in what God's doing. This last verse, verse 9, this is where we'll close and spend time in communion. In verse 9, it says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. Think about how much more fulfilling our lives would be if that's all we worried about, was pleasing God. Every decision you make, every choice you make, every way you communicate with people, the way you raise your children, the way you work with your employees or how you work at your job, if you were only trying to please God. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be so much better? And if we are looking at what we're going through, then it's not going to be pleasing to him. God says, I want you to focus on me. I can get you through anything if you look at me. What did Jesus say? If you have faith of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to move and it'll move. That's pleasing God. It's trusting and engaging your faith in whatever obstacle is before you and saying, God, help me get through this. That's where I'm at in my life right now. As the pastor of this church and this situation we've got going on, it's like, Lord, it's a mountain that I have no idea how I can get around it. You're going to have to move it. And if either he's going to move it or he's going to do something. That's the faith that we have in a God who loves us and wants us to give him all the glory for it. At the end of it, we're going to be able to say, look what God did. I don't ever want to say, wow, look what we did. Wow, look at how this is amazing. No, look what God did. We want to please the Lord. And in the midst of it, we don't want to shake our fist and like, why'd you let this happen? Right? That's what the flesh wants to do. Lord, why did you allow this to happen? He's always got a plan. He's always got a reason. We gotta make sure our eyes are on the target. And the target is, when we get to heaven, we're not going to talk about sprinklers anymore. No sprinklers in heaven. God's glory will be the sprinkler. No, that's taking the Bible out of context. Here's what I want you to think about. If you're going to live forever with Jesus, then today you need to please him. Every day, every moment, every opportunity, pleasing the Lord. Every morning when you wake up and realize you're still here, that's when you go, this isn't heaven yet. Lord, I'm going to please you. Every morning, Lord, I want to please you. In all that Paul did, his goal was to please the Lord. When we meet the Lord, we don't want to be ashamed at the time we wasted. We don't want to be embarrassed that we spent too much time dribbling down here, not trying to win the game. Please him. Honor him. Walk by faith, not by sight. Those are the things that please God. That when we deal with the things in this world and give him all the glory and all the praise, because it's him that's doing the work, right? One day we're going to cast all of our crowns at his feet. Every good thing that happened in my life is going to be because of what God did for it in my life. And it's the same for you. So as we now enter into this time of communion, I want us to be thinking about, Lord, Paul tells us to think about heaven more. Maybe I need to think about heaven more. God knows what you're going through. And he wants you to focus on him. So let's close in prayer, and the gentleman will come forward, worship team, and the elements. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful, thankful that you love us so, so much. And God, you know there's times we get overwhelmed with life. Things are hard here. You know that. You walked here. You walked the hardest life of all. And yet you still willingly went to the cross. I pray for all of us here this morning that as we partake of communion, Lord, that it's not just a religious rite. It's not just a tradition that we do every first Sunday of the month. That truly we would take this time and be so thankful that you made a way for us to get to heaven. That as you were nailed to that cross and you bled for our unrighteousness, to cover us, Lord, to cleanse us, to give us your righteousness, that you did it willingly. And you didn't say, maybe this will be enough. No, Lord, you said, it is finished. It is enough for the sins of the world. So I pray for all of us here this morning, if there is anyone here that isn't confident like the Apostle Paul, confident that if this was the last day on earth, that tomorrow we would be with you, that very moment we would be in your presence. If we're not confident with that, Lord, help us to get to that place, because it's not about how good we are. It's not about us being perfect. It's about putting our faith in the one who is perfect. And you wish none to perish, Lord. So if there's someone here this morning who has never given their life to you, Lord, and they can't be confident, I pray in their heart they would just admit their sin, acknowledge you as Savior, and see you just open with open arms receiving them into the family, so that they can leave here knowing and being confident that they'll spend eternity with you. So help us, Lord. Help us remember what you've done and be thankful and grateful for the life you've given to us. We love you and thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.